You are listening to the IFH Podcast Network. For more amazing filmmaking and screenwriting podcasts, just go to ifhpodcastnetwork.com.
Today's episode is brought to you by Rise of the Filmtrepreneur, How to Turn Your Independent Film into a Money-Making Business by Alex Ferrari. For a free copy of the audiobook, head over to www.filmbizbook.com.
The Director Series is made possible by the support of our subscribers on Special. Subscribe today at special.tv/The Director Series and gain access to exclusive full-length Director Series episodes and other bonus content, ad-free. Welcome to the Director Series podcast, a show dedicated to deconstructing the work of some of cinema's most celebrated and influential film directors. I'm your host, Cameron Bile.
The Coens' past work shared a loosely unified visual aesthetic, but the lion's share of their attention was instead dedicated to the writing and the performances. With their first pair of works completed in the new millennium, they turned to a highly stylized approach that made use of advancements in digital imaging technology to better evoke their respective time periods. In the process, they created two singularly unique works that provide further insight into their artistic worldview while adding to the canon of great American films.
For he is modern man.
Seven features into their career, Joel and Ethan had managed to carve out their own distinctive subgenre of films, an aesthetic marked not by an immediately identifiable visual style, but by a sardonically playful approach to story and character. Music served a major purpose in that regard, often acting as a subtextual thematic device, but not yet as part of the narrative itself. As the world celebrated the dawn of the 21st century, the Coens embraced their growing reputation as cinematic stewards of the American musical tradition by looking back on the early years of the 20th, specifically during the Mississippi Delta during the height of the Great Depression. Their eighth feature, O Brother, Where Art Thou?, would borrow so heavily from the structural framework of Homer's ancient epic, The Odyssey, that Homer himself is given a co-writing credit in its telling of the story of three escaped convicts using the popularity of Dust Bowl folk music to seek treasure and return home to their families. Released by their frequent production collaborators Working Title Films in the year 2000, O Brother, Where Art Thou? Marks another significant hit in the Coens' filmography, one that, like The Big Lebowski before it, would send ripples through the fabric of American pop culture itself.
Hello? Who's the honcho around here?
I am. Who are you?
Sir, I'm Jordan Rivers, and these here are the Soggy Bottom Boys out of Cottonelia, Mississippi. Songs of salvation to salve the soul. We hear that you pay good money to sing into a can.
Taking its title from the movie within a movie in Preston Sturges' Soul of Vince Travels, the latest bit of inspiration the Coens have taken from that particular film throughout their filmography, O Brother, Where Art Thou? Finds the brothers working with Hollywood megastar George Clooney for the first time.
Damn, we're in a tight spot.
Clooney plays Everett McGill, a slick and conniving con man with an unhealthy affection for pomade.
Well, I don't want pop, goddammit. I'm a Dapper Dan man.
Watch your language, young fella. This is a public market. Now, if you want Dapper Dan, I can order it for you. Have it in a couple of weeks.
Well, ain't this place a geographical oddity? 2 weeks from everywhere.
As the Prussian-era stand-in for the Odyssey's Ulysses, Clooney has the unenviable task of embodying the film's heart and soul, but in his efforts, he manages to find a special kinship with the Coens' distinct worldview, kicking off a string of buffoonish Coen rascals that deliberately play against his polished leading man image.
What are you gonna do with your share of the treasure?
Go out west somewhere. Open a fine restaurant. I'm gonna be the maitre d'.
Coen regulars John Turturro and John Goodman appear as Everett's right-hand man, Pete Hogwallop, and the treacherous Cyclops Bible salesman, Big Dan Teague, respectively.
Agreement. What kind of work you do, Big Dan?
Sales, Mr. McGill, sales. And what do I sell? The truth, every blessed word of it, from Genesis on down to Revelations.
Both men are entirely comfortable within the Coens' quirky style of filmmaking, and channel it into larger-than-life performances. Neither man finds in their role a career best or particularly memorable persona, but both give the entirety of themselves over to the brothers' idiosyncratic vision.
Friend, some of your folding money has come unstowed.
Just stuff it down that sack there, will you?
Rounding out the central trio of escaped convicts is seasoned character actor Tim Blake Nelson as Delmar O'Donnell. To date, This is his only appearance in a Coen Brothers film. Somewhat of an oddity given the brothers' propensity for reusing talent.
Them sirens did this to Pete. They loved him up and turned him into a horny toad.
A few other familiar Coen faces emerge, including Charles Durning and Holly Hunter. Durning, who played the titular suicidal CEO in The Hudsucker Proxy, assumes the affectation of a bloated, aristocratic dandy in his portrayal of craven bureaucrat Pappy O'Daniel.
The great state of Mississippi, Pappy O'Daniel, governor, wants to thank the Soggy Bottom Boys for that wonderful performance!
O'Daniel is a broad stroke of a character, relying on a recognizance of the desperate-for-votes-incumbent politician who's up for re-election archetype. But Durning nevertheless makes the role his own.
Vernon here's got a job. Vernon's got prospects. He's bona fide. What are you?
I'll tell you what I am. I'm the paterfamilias, and you can't marry him.
I can, I am, and I will.
Holly Hunter, who hasn't been seen in a Coen film since 1987's Raising Arizona, has a relatively small role here as Penny, Everett's estranged wife.
Who the hell's that?
Starla Worby.
Starla McGill, you mean? How come you never told me about her?
From the first frame on, O Brother, Where Art Thou immediately distinguishes itself as one of the Coens' most visually stylized films to date. The dawning of the new millennium brought with it major advances in digital filmmaking technology, and while the film was shot on old-fashioned 35mm celluloid, its cinematography nevertheless achieves one of the earliest distinctions of the digital age, the first American motion picture to be color-timed and mastered via a digital intermediate. The process of scanning film into digital files that can be endlessly manipulated and stored is commonplace now, but O Brother, Where Art Thou's adoption of DI technology was, at the time, truly unprecedented. This choice allowed the Coens and their cinematographer Roger Deakins full control over the color grading of the image, which takes on a washed-out golden tobacco patina after they were able to isolate and reduce the saturation of blues and greens. This earthy, impressionistic color palette recalls the monochromatic texture of old photographs from the era, while their first-time use of the 2:35:1 aspect ratio makes for wider, inherently cinematic compositions. Energetic camera work proudly shows off returning production designer Dennis Gassner's authentic, well-worn patina, which evokes the cracked, warbly texture of the gospel folk tunes that inform the film's musical soul. Leaving a legacy arguably larger than O Brother, Where Art Thou cinematography, at least in the eyes of the public, is the soundtrack.
When I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away.
Returning musical team Carter Burwell and T-Bone Burnett's eclectic musical palette provides a brief yet sprawling survey of Depression-era American folk music, while also single-handedly kickstarting its popular resurgence in contemporary pop.
In the Big Rock Candy Mountain.
Indeed, Harry McClintock's hobo anthem, Big Rock Candy Mountain, probably hadn't been enjoyed at this wide a scale since the Great Depression. The inspired mix of blues, religious hymnals, Appalachian mountain folk, and bluegrass drives the film with a lyrical, rollicking energy that reinforces the film's central theme of music being an agent of personal redemption.
Come on, brothers, let's go.
The soundtrack proved so popular upon the film's release that it's said to have surpassed the success of the film itself, selling 5 million copies in its first year and earning 5 Grammys. O Brother, Where Art Thou deals in many themes and ideas that the brothers had explored to varying effect in previous films, putting a particular emphasis on references to the Bible.
Well, that's it, boys. I've been redeemed. The preacher done washed away all my sins and transgressions. It's a straight and narrow from here on out. And heaven everlasting's my reward.
The character's spirituality and remarks on scripture are naturally incorporated into the story, thanks to the evangelical ideology that sculpts the social landscape of the Mississippi Delta. The outsider perspective that guides the Coens' work is also present here in its portrait of three escaped inmates on the run and ostracized by society at large. The characters that inhabit this world mostly belong to the common class, a demographic predisposed to lionizing Everett and his gang as folk heroes, out to stick it to fat cat bureaucrats and expose the absurdity and wastefulness of the concentrated pockets of wealth that dot the Delta. The Coens never let the proceedings get too serious, subverting the weight of the central quest narrative at every turn with exaggerated minor characters and old-fashioned slapstick humor. O Brother, Where Art Thou premiered in competition at the Cannes Film Festival, which by now had become almost standard procedure for the release of a new Coen Brothers film. Save for one notable exception in Roger Ebert, the film received warm reviews from critics who appreciated the brothers' effortless transition into an epic story scope, as well as their pioneering use of digital intermediate technology and realistic implementation of computer-generated imagery. Most of all, they simply appreciated how fun it all was, and their praise helped propel the film to sleeper hit status at the box office, earning back almost triple of its $26 million budget. The film received two Oscar nominations, one for Joel and Ethan's creative adaptation of Homer's epic poem, and the other for Deakin's cinematography. The mainstream success of O Brother, Where Art Thou is evidence of the Coens hitting their stride, having delivered yet another bona fide masterpiece to their already impressive body of work.
Thank you for listening to the Director Series. For a deeper dive into your favorite filmmakers, go to www.directorseries.net.
The Director Series is made possible in large part by our generous supporters on Patreon. Please visit us at patreon.com/directorseries to see how your contribution enables the continued production of video essays and text articles on your favorite contemporary and classic film directors. Thank you.